Chase Willie and D-Mace here during the noon hour. Titans beat the Broncos 17-10. You just heard from Mike Vrabel. Quick turnaround with the trip to Lambeau coming up. They've got a fly out on Wednesday, so not much time to heal up, to assess. Some interesting comments on how he'll look at the injury front, but certainly, Derek, as you can tell, as you would expect, even though the team is sitting in a very good spot, they've overachieved, in my estimation, to be 6-3 right now with all the injuries they've had. So many questions about the play calling and the coordinator, Tom Downing. I don't get it. No, he's not perfect. He's not a Jedi master. He's not a wizard, whatever term you want to use. He's not the greatest. But when you take a look at his personnel, these questions about Chigakonkwo and these, who do you think these guys are? Chigakonkwo is a rookie. Okay, he's figuring out in the league. Yes, I'd like to see him take more steps forward. He made a big catch yesterday. Everybody talks about Austin Hooper. Yeah, he's making a little bit of progress. They have a lot of limitations on offense. Yesterday was a good offensive game against the defense they were playing. I don't understand the complaints. How many points did you think they were going to score against the Broncos defense? And follow-up question, how many points did you think they would need to score against the Broncos? The game is not won by having to see how many points you can score. You score as many points as you need to score to win. The Broncos defense had given up more than 17 points in regulation twice on the season. Or, I'm sorry, once on the season. Once. They gave up 32 to the Raiders in week four. Other than that, nobody had gotten more than 17 in any game. That's one of the best defenses in the league. So, by the same token, the Broncos offense is what?
It's
awful.
Awful. Bad.
Awful. So you know going in that if you score 17, you got a pretty good shot. They didn't turn the ball over, except for the one fluky play that they, that's the one thing that I know everybody's got, you know, all belly aching about. Yeah, that was one play that didn't go right. It was probably a bad call. It tried to get a little too cute, whatever term you want to use, sure. Okay, that one play. But overall, one turnover, one sack, 17 points, got a big play on a flea flicker, got a guy stepping up, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's been AWOL for several weeks, came up with a big game for you. Why would you not grade that as a good grade for the offense, especially given the fact that the Broncos actually took away what you wanted to do running the ball?
I mean, it's a C. But this is more so of a – just a microcosm of how the offense has been. And I think this is why people are so upset. This is why people are like, listen, we need a new offensive coordinator, because this offense was inept from a passing standpoint at times, more times than not last year. And now this year's the same thing, where first game of the season, you don't score many points in the second half. The second half was dismal for you and you lost. Second game of the season against the Bills, second half was dismal, and you got blew
nightmare
out.
Game.
But that's the Bills. I get it. Raiders, second half was a dismal. You still managed to win that one because the Raiders are sad themselves. The Colts, the second half was a dismal, but you win. Why? Because the Colts are a dismal. The Commanders, second half, you almost let that one go. You didn't play in the second half at all. But your defense came up big in the red zone. The Colts, again, second half was a dismal, and you barely won that one. The Texans against the Houston Texans, your offense was a dismal in the second half.
No, that's not true. They ran the hell out of the ball in the second half.
I understand that, but from a passing standpoint, it was a dismal, okay? The Chiefs, we understand what that was. It was a close game, hard-fought game. The defense played their tails off, but the offense was inept against the Broncos, the offense was inept, but they managed to score a touchdown before half and then right after half. This is what the people are frustrated about. I get what you're saying, and I'm all for it, Willie. But when they're looking at their team, they're just not looking at the Bronco game saying it was the Broncos defense, and that's one of the best defenses in the National Football League. You look at the Raiders, they don't have one of the best defenses. The Colts, they don't have one of the best defenses. The Commanders, their defense is okay, but it's not like top-notch defense. The Chiefs' defense isn't that good. Then you go against the Broncos. They're a good, legitimate defense. This is why the people are so frustrated, because they're like, yeah, we understand them not playing well against the Broncos. They're a top-five defense. But the rest of these jokers, are you serious? We can't score in the second half against the rest of these jokers. Like, this is why the fan base is fed up, and they're pointing to Downing. This is why, because it's like we can't point at the players because we know what type of players they have. Nobody wants us to point at the GM because hey, he got some hits on there as well too. So who's left to blame? Downing. Downing
I know. Is left to blame. Right. He's unfairly blamed, in my opinion. Okay.
People have already blamed John Robinson, but they can't keep blaming John Robinson. It's like, okay, you know what you got to work with. Now work with it from a passing standpoint.
But they traded A.J. Brown. That's the thing that you have to try to overcome. That's not easy for any offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have told you yesterday before the game, they'll be down 10-0. They won't be able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill is limited at best in his mobility. And they have the same receivers they've had. Now, yes, Burks came back and he gave them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have liked their chances of coming back and winning the game. Would you? I mean, give them credit. They came back.
Yeah.
They came from behind uh-huh. without being able to run the ball at all. They were resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get in the big picture, it's got to get better. If mm-hmm. they're gonna be a Super Bowl contender,
mm-hmm.
they need more from Burks. They've got to get more from Okonkwo. They've got to get Kyle Phillips back. They've got to get everything they possibly can from the receiving core. But there's going to be limitations. Downing cannot expect to be some wizard with what he's had to work with. He's done pretty well.
I am not.
And it's a winning formula. You know that when you play the way the Titans play, it's complementary. You're not trying to light up the scoreboard necessarily. You're mm-hmm. playing to win the game. You've got a good punter.
Mm-hmm.
You can win the field position game. You don't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good enough to win.
I get it. And
part of the reason they haven't scored in the second half is because they haven't had to score in the second half.
Well,
that's part of the reason. Wouldn't want to score, but they haven't had to score.
Because they played teams that are just not good. And
right.
But
they're winning the games.
And that's why the fan base is the way they are. That's why they're nervous, because they're looking at it like they've got six victories against six teams that are not making the playoffs. Okay? None of these teams that they have beaten will make the playoffs. The Broncos, the Colts, the Texans, the Commanders, the Raiders. They're not making the playoffs.
Very true. They have not beaten a team currently.
They have
not
beaten a team that is a good team. Okay? This is why the fan base, I'm only telling you why I believe the fan base is so frustrated with Downing, because they know eventually that they're going to run into a team, and it's more than likely it's going to be in the playoffs, and Derrick Henry is not going to be able to run the ball for 150, 200 yards. The offense, from a passing standpoint, needs to pick up the slack somehow, some way. And the fan base don't believe they can do it, because they have not shown. If the passing game needs to win a game, they have not shown that they can do it. They haven't.
All right, let's come back and get some opinions from our listeners. 615-737-1025. Call or text on our phone line text line, brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. How do you grade the offense to this point? Where can it go? Because there's two different things here. Has it been good enough to get by? Yeah. So how do you grade Todd Downing? If you're down on Downing, I want to hear why. Why do you grade him so bad based on quarterback's been hurt, wide receiver issues, traded A.J. Brown, injury at left tackle. What is your expectation level? I think under the circumstances, he's done well. Still has to get better, for sure. But we're only halfway through the season. Stay tuned. We're coming back to take your calls and text after this.
You satisfied with the way play calling's gone this year?
Yeah, I think as long as the play calls are given to the signal caller in a timely fashion and that we have time to get out there, whether it's offensively or defensively, make a call. I think players are more important than plays. I think teammates are more important than players. So hopefully, you know, we're getting these guys the call and they understand the details. There's no magic call. We called a flea flicker yesterday. It was very well executed by the players, and that's why we scored a touchdown. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're getting them the call, which I think we are, and that we're communicating, and the call that we're getting, that everybody understands what's being asked of them.
Mike Vrabel, minutes ago, defending Todd Downing when being asked many different ways about Todd Downing's play-calling ability. I gave Todd Downing a very good grade yesterday. B+, under the circumstances, playing against the top defense. Quarterback limited in mobility. We know the issues at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. We know the issues at left tackle. And he got the job done. They even took away the running game, and he still found ways to come from behind down 10-0. Todd Downing, I thought, did a very good job. I felt like Mike Vrabel sort of understands. It's more about players. He knows they don't have the players, and I think if you could really put the magic lasso of Wonder Woman on him and you said, hey, could you do would you want to do that AJ Brown trade over? He knows if he had AJ Brown, it'd be a little different. But he knows they don't. They gotta move forward what they got, and they've got to improve in the second half of the season. But I think he's gotta be thrilled to be 6-3 yesterday. Or 6-3 at this point. And he's got to be thrilled with the results yesterday.
I'm not saying that Vrabel is not thrilled. Hell, the team is thrilled. They're 6-3. The offense is thrilled. They're 6-3, considering how they've played. Okay, I'm just saying that this offense has been inept from the start of the season, and it hasn't gotten any better. You would think that, you know, as the season goes on, they understand who they have on this offense, what they can do, what their limitations are, who my playmakers are. So from that standpoint, this offense, once you identify everything, you should get a little bit better in the passing game. Granted, I understand that Ryan Tannehill was out 2 games. I get that. But this offense, even with Ryan Tannehill, hasn't gotten any better from game 1 against the Giants to now game 9 against the Denver Broncos. This offense has been what I would deem abysmal and dismal together, which is a dismal, okay? That's what it is.
So we've come up with a new term altogether. Worse than abysmal.
Absolutely.
Abysmal.
Absolutely. So this is what this offense has been up until this point. No, thank you, listeners. I appreciate it. But again, I want to first recognize, you know, this team, this coaching staff, mainly Vrabel and Shane Bowen, for what they've been able to do with this defense to get them to play at a level that they're playing at, even without the guys that they count on day in and day out. Those guys were not there. And this defense still played. Granted, it was against a bad offense, but this defense still played. What do they have, 6 sacks? Something like that?
And the pressures.
This constant team pressure.
Like,
man, they are balling out of control. That's what they're doing. And it's just sad that the offense, from a passing standpoint, hasn't gotten any better. Like, they haven't gotten a little bit better. I understand some things that Vrabel talks about, you know, the flea flicker, and yes, but from a passing standpoint, you have not gotten better from game 1 to game 9.
Well, the first round draft pick got hurt. Had to go on IR. Your left tackle is hurt. Your quarterback was hurt for two weeks. He was still hurt yesterday.
That's why I took out the games when Ryan didn't play. I took out those two games because I understand. But even with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, this offense from a passer standpoint, Willie, still hasn't been what we believe it should be.
It's got to be better. There's no question. But I think for what they've had to work with, it hasn't been nearly as bad. And it's not on the coordinator. It's on the limitations of the players. Let's get some reaction from the texters here, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025. From what I watch and think, defense has got a lot better, but Todd with the offense this season. It hasn't gotten a lot better, and for us to win in the playoffs, we're going to have to score at least 25 or more to win the game. I don't believe that they're going to get to 25, but I do agree that it's got to get better if they're going to win in the playoffs. If this is Wes in Clarksville. If we had AJ, he would be asking to get traded on how bad this offense is. I don't think that's true. I think AJ is the missing element that they don't have and will not have unless Treylon Burks really has the light go on. Andrew, what's the crying about? We threw for 255 yesterday. You said Tannehill isn't better than Willis. Now today you expect 400 yards passing? I do think sometimes
who said Tannehill wasn't better than Willis?
Oh, I don't know who said that. But
I have no idea.
Nobody on this show for sure.
I wouldn't dare say that.
If you'd have told me yesterday before the game they would pass for 255, mm-hmm. I'd have said, give it to me.
I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah.
With no interceptions and one sack, that's pretty darn good against the Broncos defense. Broncos defense number one against the pass.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And if I'm, you know, if you come to me before the game and say, listen, Ryan Tannehill is going to throw for 55 yards, two touchdowns. I'm going to say, I'll take it. Come on, let's keep going. Let's keep going. There's nothing else you need to say to me because even with a loss, I'd have said, I'll take it because, you know, we haven't seen these numbers all year. But this had, again, I go back to consistency. This wasn't a consistent 255 yards. It just wasn't. We all know that. He had a huge play to Chigakonkwo, which he broke tackles and ran down the field. That kid's a player, man. I don't know what the hell the Titans are thinking.
Right, there were a lot of questions.
You know what the problem is? Because none of them can block.
Well,
and Swain is the best blocker, so they got to keep him in the game.
So you think that's it? Because it seems obvious, right? Everybody's like, why isn't he out there more? It's either
he
not
an
understanding of the offense or a blocker.
I think it's
issue.
The blocking team because they are a run-based team. And he's not their blocking tight end. So he's not going to play a lot because they want to have damn Hooper out there catching 5-yard passes because he ain't going to block either. I don't get
and
that.
And he
like
was better dude. Yesterday.
Who?
Hooper was
He was
better.
Better.
Well, he actually caught more passes than
Man,
he has been catching.
He was wide open. I don't get this. Like, damn it, we pay you to catch wide open passes. Catch the damn ball. Catch the
five
contested
catches
one.
For 41 yards.
Exactly. You ain't moving the ball down the field.
He does. He has made a couple of key catches, though.
Key catches.
In the second half, he had a couple of key catches that got him down.
He had two first down catches that were really good, but neither one of them were contested catches.
One, he broke a tackle.
He broke a tackle.
To get across the first down marker, which was a big, big pickup.
Again, he wasn't a contested catch. When the defense was off and nobody was on him, he catches passes. Watch it. Go back and watch the film, Willie. When defenses are on him, he can't get open. He can't. I just have Chig out there.
But who draws the coverage? Nobody. Like Robert Woods completely taken out of the game.
But they're not double teaming Hooper. They're single
teaming. Who do they need to double team?
Nobody. But I'm just saying.
That's the thing. AJ Brown would change that if they had
him. Well, we don't have AJ Brown.
I know. So how
Hooper needs to get open more.
Okay, but who is the game changer? I don't think you have one. Burks might be potentially the only one.
I think Burks is the game changer. No, I think Chigakonkwo is a game changer. He has shown every time he's gotten the ball more times than not.
It's a lot to ask of rookies.
No, it's not. Just put him in the game, throw him the football.
Okay.
That's what you do. Find design plays to get him, and I think that's what Paul was alluding to. Like just design plays to get this guy open. Again, you want to design plays to get everybody open, like this little league football. No, you're not a playmaker. You're not a playmaker. You're not a playmaker. So I ain't designing the ball for y'all. You are a playmaker. You are one, and you are one. y'all getting the ball.
But do you have to sacrifice a little bit of that in order to run the way you want to run with Henry?
No, you don't. No, I don't think
you want it all. You feel like you can do it all. I think even with the personnel they have.
Because my thing is this. This offense is at a point where, like, listen, you're going to have, and I know why they're probably not putting Chig in the game, because he's not as good of a pass blocker. But Chig needs to be sat down and said, listen, and the kid is probably a willing blocker. He just got to learn it. Like, listen, you want to get on the field more? We want you on the field more. We need to see your blocking improve. Like, this, like, you really need to, like, hone. Because from a pass-catching standpoint, you're the best tight end we got. From a playmaking standpoint, you're the best tight end we got. Like, you are the best. Head and shoulders above the other two guys. I just need you to get the blocking so I can put you in there more. That's what – they got to figure out a way to get him in a position to succeed, whether it be blocking so they can leave him in there or catching the football. He's your playmaker. I don't understand that. I'm tired of these five-yard passes every now and then to Hooper.
D-Mace does not like Todd Downing, and no amount of talk is going to change that.
No, I've never said I
that
dislike
was a text from Jim.
I've never said I dislike Downing. I just said, listen, he has to identify his playmakers. He does.
All right, when we come back, we'll get more of your texts and phone calls. A lot of you are weighing in, especially on the text line. We'll get to Chris to lead us off, too, on the calls. 615-737-1025. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5. Of course, you can also listen to us on 106.3. Tonight at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody on the game. Eddie George Show brought to you by Low T Center and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options mean more savings for you. Free quote at XanderInsurance.com. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. A lot of people riled up about the Titans and where they are just past the halfway point, 6-3. Let's go to Chris on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, welcome.
Hey, guys. I thought that was a big win yesterday, and I understand all the negative things about Downey and the offense. I was that way earlier in the season, mostly mad at J-Rob for the lack of talent that he put on the field this year. I mean, everybody would like to have an offense like we had back in 2020 paired with this defense. But, you know, I watched yesterday and Tannehill on a bum ankle pass for 255 yards. He was able to win that game when the Broncos shut down Derrick Henry. Now, going forward, he's going to have to face his demons, because that's what he's going to have to do in the playoffs. When they shut Derrick down, he has to do just enough to pull out a win, and he's never been able to do that in the playoffs. So I saw some good things yesterday on offense.
Not the last 2 years. I mean, he got him to the AFC Championship game. Not that he lit it up, but he did his job. But
I get what you're saying, Chris. I mean.
Yeah, he's got to elevate. Everybody's got to elevate in the playoffs, and that's definitely going to be the conversation if they get there. But battling through.
In 2019, Willie, it was Derek that ran through the Patriots, and he ran through the Ravens, and then the Chiefs stopped Derek in the AFC Championship game.
Very true. But, all right, I'm going to let you run on that, Chris. Good stuff. I appreciate the call. Let me get to Kevin next. Another opinion on Downing. Those are a down on Downing. I'm trying to say, give the guy credit. He's had major limitations in what to work with. They are 6-3, and I'm particularly looking at yesterday. I thought he should get good grades for his performance yesterday. You notice nobody gives him credit for the flea flicker at all. They want innovation, creativity. Well, flea flicker won in the game, touchdown. But most people want to talk about the fumble where they put Malik Willis in the game. All right, let's go to Kevin. Kevin, welcome in.
Hey, guys. So, first off, what's crazy is that we're a missed field goal and a botched two-point conversion. That was just a bad call from being 8-1. So, just wanted to point that out. But on the limitations, I don't understand. For Downing, for me, we're the worst offense in the NFL with the best running back in the NFL. And that's enough to tell me right there that Todd Downing's not doing a very good job. Plus, I don't understand. I know the offensive line is a limitation, but when I look at the pass catchers, Hooper's a good pass catcher. Chig's a good pass catcher. You got Robert Woods, who has a really good career. NWI is a good. So we've got people that can catch the ball. We've got people that have done it in the past in other offenses. So I don't understand. To me, the limitation thing is an excuse, and it is a little bit of an excuse, but, you know, it doesn't validate to me. You've got people on the team that can do the job good enough. And I'm not expecting a number one offense, but we should at least be midway. And so, yeah, that's kind of my take on Todd Downing, 32nd ranked offense with the best running back in the NFL.
But do you really think it's the 32nd offense? Because I mean
when I watch him play, it feels like it. I mean, yesterday it was hard to stay awake.
No, but I'm saying though, I'm talking. Let's focus on yesterday because that's really where I'm coming from. And the 2 weeks before that, they're playing without their quarterback, so you can't really put the offense on that. But yesterday against an elite defense, one of the top five in the league, 17 points is a good performance by the offense, by the offensive play caller. Everything considered, right? They came from behind, and you have a hobbled quarterback.
When you look at the Broncos, they've held everybody to 17 points.
Absolutely. Everybody but the Raiders.
Yeah, they do have a really good defense. And Downing, I'll give him credit, 80% of the time he makes good calls. It's the four or five games, you know, plays a game that you're scratching your head like, why would you do that, you know? Yesterday, good example, Henry has two good runs and they put Hilliard in, and I understand you're trying to trick the defense or whatever, but, you know, that's the kind of thing, and that's a consistent thing with him, is that it's at least three or four play calls a game, and when you're only playing, you know, calling 30 calls a game, you know, you're percentage-wise, if you make, you know, five bonehead calls a game, that's enough to get a guy fired, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Kevin, thanks for the call. I want to ask you about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We haven't talked about him much. I thought he was disappearing in front of our eyes. He had gone back from the last year when he started to come around. I expected a little bit more coming into the season. I thought they were sort of trusting him to take a step forward with everything that they did. I thought yesterday was huge for him. The flea flicker, pretty much any wide receiver is going to catch. They sort of scheme their way into that one. But the catch at the end of the half for a touchdown,
that was a big
catch, a major, major play in the game. If they have to settle for a field goal there, the game's different.
See, and you know, this is why, you know, when you look at the numbers from Tannehill and you see 255 yards, but, you know, a chunk of that was the flea flicker and the Chig run. What I'm disappointed is this team doesn't make enough contested catches. When they have to, either they can't get off tight coverage or those contested catches are 50-50. And I'm not talking about a 50-50 ball you throw downfield. I'm talking about, you know, the guy's right behind me, he's on me, and you got to make that tough catch. More times than not, they're not making it. It was good to see Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, you know, sort of come out of the shadows and have a good day yesterday, because he had been slipping further and further and further behind. It was almost like he was regressing from last year. And, you know, y'all know, I've sat here and praise Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and I, you know, because of what he's been able to do, he's made big catches, tough catches.
I wonder if it was it confidence a little bit. He's drawing a little more attention. Obviously, Tannehill not being in there for a couple games.
I think the
one last week against the Chiefs was a big non-catch, but I thought it was a great bounce back. It says a lot about him mentally. He bounces back, makes.
I think they don't have the fortune of having a number one receiver. They don't have that fortune. So now their jobs become a little bit harder. That's why I said, listen, yes, they have guys that can catch the ball when they're open. They got a bunch of those guys. But we know in the NFL, as the quarter continues to go on, first quarter is harder than the second quarter. Second quarter is harder than the third quarter. And if the game tight, you know what teams do? They start to tighten up too. That coverage starts to get a little bit tighter. They went from 5 yards to 3 yards now. Now you got to make those contested short catches or intermediate catches. And they just haven't made enough of them.
Mm-hmm. If that's...
And the one person I thought up until that point last week that could make them was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, because he was the only guy making those tough contested catches. And then he drops a big one last week that they really needed.
I'm hoping Burks, with his size, can help in the contested catch area too. When we come back, we'll get more. We've got a lot of people that have opinions on the Titans offense right now. Also a note from Ian Rappaport. Caleb Farley suffered a disc injury yesterday, according to a source. He's having more tests to determine how significant it is and how much time he'll miss. Noted expert Dr. Robert Watkins is expected to weigh in on Farley. So more injury issues with Farley, who, of course, has been sort of out of the plans for a number of weeks anyway, but just another guy that goes down. Stay tuned. We've got more coming on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. We'll throw some NFL zingers at you at 1 o'clock. We'll bounce around the league. D-Mates and I were just looking at some highlights from the Colts game yesterday. A big win. Jeff Saturday is 1-0 as the coach.
Yes.
The surprise reinstatement of Matt Ryan as well. We'll have more on that during the 1 o'clock hour. In the meantime, let's get back to your calls and texts driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are breaking down the Titans and the Broncos. A lot of questions about what's the potential for the offense. Mm-hmm. What's a fair grade to give them under the circumstances? I thought yesterday specifically, mm-hmm. Todd Downing deserves credit for a good offensive game plan against a great defense and playing the way you had to play to get the win. But not everybody agrees. Here's a question from, let's see, it looks like an unnamed texter, can't find it here. What about going after OBJ? The famous question. You watch this reaction from D-Mace. OBJ, we need a name threat outside to clear the box. And he said, and let Woods go.
Let Woods, huh?
Let Woods go.
Let Woods.
Bring in OBJ.
So I'm not going to answer that question, man. I'm not going to even answer. When they said let Woods go,
I know.
They lost me right there.
So you want a guy that tore his ACL in the Super Bowl.
Let Robert Woods go.
And let the guy go because he's coming off a torn ACL in November. No.
I said this last week. The one guy I truly feel bad for in this offense is Robert Woods, because he came here with the anticipation that he could be the number two, and AJ was on the other side. And
are you worried about Woods, or do you think there's still hope if they can get everybody in place that he can still help them?
Moving forward.
Second half of the season.
I don't know. If Treylon Burks comes on the way we believe he can, then yeah, there may be a little bit more space for Robert Woods. But he's uncharacteristically dropped some balls that he should have had, and he know he should have had. So maybe he's just frustrated within the offense. And sometimes when you get frustrated because of the lack of opportunities, when it does come your way, you're trying too much to catch the ball, and you end up tensing up, and nothing goes right when you're tensing up trying to catch a football. So I feel bad for him, because he came here with the anticipation that A.J. Brown was on the other side and Derrick Henry's in the backfield. So as the number one, number two receiver, I should be able to roam free. You know, I should be Corey Davis in this offense with A.J. Brown on the side of me. But then they trade away A.J. Brown, and it's like now I go from being the number two. Now you catapult me to the number one coming off an ACL. So then again, why would I want to go get OBJ with an ACL? And then, people, you forget, they got to re-sign him. You then would have to re-sign him. And the way this offense is going, or the way it has been going, he not coming here. Don't worry about it. He not coming here. Because this offense is not high-powered enough. He's already won his Super Bowl, okay? He has his Super Bowl in his back pocket. Now it's about stacking numbers for him on the way to getting another Super Bowl. And this offense just hasn't proven from a consistency standpoint in the passing game that they are closer to getting to the Super Bowl than not.
Bradford, could it be that Todd Downing is doing the very best he can with the tools he had at his disposal? Maybe some of the tools aren't the right ones. Maybe, just maybe, they should have went to the tool store before it closed. That is the thing, that a lot of other teams did make trades at the deadline. The Titans did not.
But again, y'all wanted the Titans to go out and get a receiver that then they had to go pay. They just let a receiver go. Why? Because they didn't want to pay him. I don't know believe what you're seeing, people. If they didn't want to pay one receiver who was 24 years old and almost at the top of his game, one of the best in the National Football League, he's a top 12 receiver in this league. They didn't want to pay him. What makes you think they're going to go out and get a Claypool or somebody else that they're eventually going to have to pay too? They're not going to do it. They are not going to do it, all right? They're not going to pay a guy $20, $25 million, okay, per year. I'm just going by history. They're not going to do it, all right? They'll pay a receiver, you know, a little bit under 20, but they're not paying him top dollar to come here to play football. Why?
So if you subscribe to that, mm-hmm. then don't you have to maybe consider that when you evaluate Todd Downing?
Yeah, you
because that's really where I am a little bit. When I'm evaluating Todd Downing, I'm considering the fact that they made that choice with their salary cap. Mm-hmm. They made the choice to trade A.J. Brown in a window where they're trying to win. And so I still think But
the reason why I say the whole Todd Downing thing, because there were points last season where even with A.J. Brown, this offense was anemic at times. This offense was slow. This offense was not good at times.
Yeah.
In the passing, not in the run, because I think in the run, they've always been, you know.
But when they, I think when they had A.J. Brown, and say what you will, when they had Julio Jones, which is a very small, very small percentage of the time, but at least when they had A.J. Brown, at least when they had A.J. Brown in there, the offense was. And Derrick Henry, for that matter.
Yeah.
You felt like there was a potential for big things.
Yeah,
right?
No, you're right. But still, I mean.
Here, I'm looking at what's the ceiling? There's not a huge ceiling with what they have right now. They're trying to get the most out of what they've got. You've got to hope that you have a great running game that chews up clock, you don't turn the ball over, and your defense can hold the team to less than 17 points. That's really how they've won. And that's going to maybe take them a good ways to where they want to go, but how much more potential is there with the personnel that they've had? You're looking at Burks, you're looking at Okonkwo. Those are probably two places to start, right?
Yeah, but again, I just go.
I just don't think it's the play calling.
I go back to.
I think it's a personnel issue.
I think it's a little bit of both because, to me, you have it. We're nine games in, and you haven't defined who your playmakers are in the pass game. We know who the playmaker is on the team, on offense, is Derrick Henry. But you hadn't identified who the playmakers are after nine games on offense, or you have, but you haven't gotten them the ball or put them in situations where, you know, it's been consistently good for this team. These guys disappear at some point in the game, more times than not. And it can't just be, oh, it's the personnel. It has to be, some of it has to fall on the offensive coordinator as well. Because, I mean, eventually, you know, you're going to have to make a change somewhere. And the only reason I am, you know, sort of down on Downey, because I seen this last year and he had A.J. Brown. I seen this offense sputter. I seen the inconsistencies of this passing game last year. And it's just gotten worse this year. Why? Because A.J.'s not there. But that falls on the coordinator, because if it was inconsistent last year, you remove a playmaker. It's even worse this year. It's like we need to – eventually something's going to have to change. It is, because it's not like we went from this high-powered offense last year throwing the ball. Now we lost A.J. Brown, and now we've gone to the bottom of the heap. They were not a good passing – they were not one of the top passing teams in the league last year.
No, not at all. But I think it would be a challenge for any offensive coordinator with the pieces they have on offense to be a whole lot better than they are right now. And they are playing to the system that allows their defense to win the game for them. All right, on that, let's move on. We'll have our NFL zingers. Chase McCabe, the suit, will join us as well. And D-Mace, you've got a word here about Cool Springs MD.
Absolutely. So, men, open up your ears and listen to me, okay? I need to tell you something. I need to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men, including me, of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and an enriched life. And who doesn't want a healthier lifestyle or an enriched life? Who doesn't want that? So, man, check it out. This is what you need to do. You need to call Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD today and make an appointment. Here's the number, 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.